Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this third Sunday of Lent. I'm Barbara Little here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and this morning we'll hear the Gospel from St. Luke and hear the Word of Life for March. Please stay with us, and we'll be right back. The St. Pius X Annual Irish Festival and Brunch will feature delicious homemade Irish stew, Blarney Stone salad, fresh Dublin vegetables, and Irish soda bread. Gingerbread with whipped cream will top off your meal. A variety of Irish-inspired drinks will complete your dining experience on Sunday, March 17th, from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. The Gravel Walk Irish Band will provide the music for your entertainment, as well as the Erin Go Bragh Irish Dance Contest. All tickets will be by pre-sale only, so get yours now by calling Sue Doherty at 855-8541.
Crisio is a movement focusing on helping Christian lay people become effective Christian leaders. Included in the weekend are numerous talks, some by a priest, some by lay people. The goal is for those attendees to take what they have learned back into the world. An important point that's stressed is personal, spiritual development. A women's Crisio is scheduled for February 28th through March 3rd at the Corpus Christi Crucio Center, 1200 Lantana. To hear more or to register, please call 249-2450.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop. How are you this morning?
I am well as always, I guess you might say.
Greetings
to everyone who's listening, and to you, Barbara, this morning on
this
Sunday.
I know. Time is going by quickly.
Yes, we are awaiting a consistory and awaiting a new pope. We are heading into the future.
We really are. It's going to be an exciting couple of weeks.
It's amazing during Lent that all this is happening, because it really puts us in that desert, you know, in many ways. So keep praying and ask everyone to pray for the wisdom and the courage for those who are electing the pope. That the right person for the church, but also for humanity, for all of us, that a spiritual leader can come forward to help guide us all.
Yeah, they have a huge decision ahead of them.
They do.
Well, our gospel today is from St. Luke, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Some people told Jesus about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with the blood of their sacrifices. Jesus said to them in reply, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, that they were greater sinners than all other Galileans? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did." Or the 18 people who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than everyone else who lived in Jerusalem? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did. And then he told him this parable. There once was a person who had a fig tree planted in his orchard. And when he came in search of fruit on it, but found none, he said to the gardener, "For 3 years now I have come in search of fruit on this fig tree, but I have found none. So cut it down. Why should it exhaust the soil?" He said to him in reply, "Sir, leave it for this year also, and I shall cultivate the ground around it and fertilize it. It may bear fruit in the future. If not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this gospel has a lot of messages in it, and it seems to me that Jesus is assuring people that they shouldn't view suffering as punishment for sin, but that sin does cause a lot of suffering.
Well, you kind of hit the mark there, I think. It, and it contrasted, of course, to God's mercy at the end. But I think you're very, it's very well said what you say, that many times either we feel self-justified, and so we look at everyone else's sin and say, well, you know, because they are great sinners, this tragedy has happened to them. And Jesus is pointing out that tragedy in life, suffering in life, does not correlate with our gravity or our degree of sinfulness, because we're all sinners, right, and fall short. There are grave sins, of course, what we call mortal sins, and we call the lesser venial. So there is a degree of sinning which expresses also how much we are responding to God's love in our life. So, but Jesus does not want us to think that because someone has suffered in a certain way that it's because of their sin. We also find this throughout the gospel, where blindness, who sinned, you know, in the Gospel of John, when the blind person came, was it his parents who sinned? Or
exactly.
And Jesus tries to make that separation. Basically, showing us that, as this is Lent, that it is a journey, that there are things that happen in life. In fact, I was reading in the Office of Readings, which is part of our daily breviary, I believe it was a couple of Sundays ago, where St. Augustine says, if you're going to be a person of faith, if you're following Jesus, expect to endure trials. There will be trials. It's, you know, I like his lack of political correctness. Just tell them like it is. There will be trials, and right, let's not cover it up.
It's not going to be all roses.
No, it's there will be trials. Mm-hmm. And if you want to prove your love, and of course we don't need to prove it in that way, but as a way of speaking, to prove our love is to endure these things with God's grace and with God's help. But that starts, and I think this is the point that Jesus is speaking of here, but I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish. And so it's this constant turning to the Lord, realizing that there is my strength, there is the grace that I have in faith to sustain me even through the trials. And so it's this repentance, it's this conversion of heart to the will of God over my own. This is my freedom. And if we don't, then we all perish. We perish in our, but it's our own sinfulness. It's that brings us down in the end. And so Jesus wants us to know in this gospel that it's not because of these related instances of the blood mixed with the sacrifices or the Tower of Siloam that caused death with people, that these are the cause of the tragedies. But it's our own sinfulness that really brings us down. And then she tells a parable. Well, you know, if this fig tree is barren, and I don't know about you, but my yard has two, and they're both barren, and I don't know what to do about them. So I love this gospel this Sunday. Our immediate thing is, well, let's just get rid of it. But the gardener comes and says, no, give me some time. Let me hoe around it, cultivate it, fertilize it, and then if it doesn't bear fruit, then you can cut it down. That's a metaphor of the spiritual life. Mm-hmm. You know, if we feel during this Lenten journey that we are dry, that we're arid, that we lack faith, then we need to cultivate and allow God to cultivate us, especially through listening to his word, through that silence that we keep talking about, through returning to the sacrament of reconciliation. There's so many gifts of grace that the Lord has given us through the sacraments of the church, his word, through acts of charity. All of these are there. That's the cultivating. And if we don't participate with that, we miss the mark. We miss the opportunity. And so Jesus wants to show us in the last part of this gospel of God's great mercy for us, that God wants to work with us. The Father is there to forgive us and to work with us for life.
So he's giving us another chance.
Yes.
You know? So he's not going to shut us out. It would be us shutting him out.
Right. It's our own sinfulness. It's our lack of turning back that causes our demise spiritually and in the long run, eternally. So it's we. You know, the other day, also a couple of weeks ago, I was reading in the book of Hebrews a passage in chapter 12, which I think could be very helpful to us in this context and also as we prepare for the Word of Life after the break. But in chapter 12 of Hebrews, in verse 7, beginning in verse 7, it says, "Endure trials for the sake of discipline. God is treating you as children. For what child is there whom a parent does not discipline? If you do not have that discipline in which all children share, then you are illegitimate and not his children." Illegitimate meaning you have no part of God. The trials of life, we're to endure. We turn to him. We don't turn away from him. We turn to him. And this is the gift of faith. "Moreover, we had human parents to discipline us, and we respected them. Should we not even more willingly be subject to the Father of spirits and life? For they disciplined us for a short time, as seemed best to them," our human parents. "But he disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share his holiness. Now discipline always seems painful rather than pleasant at the time, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." Lent is about discipline. Yes. Lent is about taking time to discipline ourselves, which then prepares us for this battle that we have throughout life with sin, with the evil one, and that, of course, is growing more and more, the spiritual battles that we have. But we can't go off to battle with evil, with sin, if we don't have the strength to do that.
Kind of our artillery and our armor.
Exactly.
And our shields.
Yeah, and where is all that but in God, in our right. faith in God? And so we see the trials of life as disciplines. You know, even if we just saw, I just think it's amazing, if we could just see the small things, the losing keys in the morning when you're trying to get in the car and run off to work and you can't find your keys. Look at yourself. This is where self-awareness comes. How do we react to that?
Well, some may get upset.
Some may get violent.
Yeah. Yes.
At themselves, whoever's mm-hmm. in the way. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, all sorts of things can happen. But a little thing like that can really cause us to lose it. Instead, if we stopped and say, okay, here's a little trial. It may seem like huge at the moment, but here's a trial. And where do I find my strength? Where do I turn? Certainly, I have to look for them. But first and foremost, you know, when we clear our mind, when we know that this is a moment that God is testing us, and it's not a silly thing. It is it's a reality. I know that I do this all the time.
Me too.
Okay, Lord, let me calm down. I'm probably in too much of a rush. Calm down. And it's in that calmness, that moment of prayer, which can be 10 seconds, 15 seconds, putting ourselves in front of God, that all of a sudden we become clear and we're able to find him. You go back, okay, well, I wore those slacks yesterday. I changed slacks. I forgot about that. They're in the pants, da-da-da-da. But when we don't see all these little things as trials for discipline, then we're going to lose it. And then we're ready for the bigger things that happen in life. In those little things, we learn to turn to God. We turn away from perhaps a sinful response to a more filial or a daughterly response to God. Right. Say, okay, mm-hmm. you're with me. I know. Calm me down. Help me find him. And there we go.
And then we're off.
And we're off. And this, I think, is what that fig tree, let the Lord hoe around, cultivate, fertilize, and it comes and brings fruition.
But we need to slow down and listen.
Right.
Thank you, Bishop. And we are going to take a short break. And when we return, we will hear about the Word of Life for March. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
And my name will be forever exalted.
This is Monsignor Morgan, the pastor of St. Peter Catholic Church on Vila Road in the Annaville area. I would like to invite teenage and adult Catholics and non-Catholics to come to our Lenten one-day mission on Saturday, March the 9th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at St. Peter Church, 3901 Violet Road. We are very excited that John Michael Talbot, a best-selling author and one of the busiest motivational ministers in our country, will be our mission leader. We look forward to his teachings, music, and singing as he reminds us that nothing is impossible with God. There is no charge, and lunch will be served. For more information, call St. Peter Church 241-3249.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. With this being the first Sunday in March, we're going to have our Word of Life for March. And Bishop, I told you ahead of time, I particularly love this Word of Life, this line out of Scripture.
Right. Well, it's a beautiful scene that we have also in John's Gospel. And it's the scene, of course, we'll hear it in the commentary on the Word of Life that Kara Lubick gives. But it's the one where the woman caught in sin, the act of sin, is brought to Jesus, and he's put on the spot. Should she be stoned to death or not?
They're trying to test him.
And then, of course, in his wisdom and as God, he responds. So let us read the Word of Life. Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. While Jesus was teaching in the temple, the scribes and the Pharisees brought in a woman who had been caught committing adultery. They said to Jesus, "In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. So what do you say?" They wanted to set a trap for him with this question. If Jesus had shown himself to be against the stoning, they could have accused him of going against the law. According to the law, the actual witnesses were to begin throwing stones at the one who had sinned, and then the people were to follow in turn. If instead Jesus had confirmed the sentence of death, they would have succeeded in making him contradict his own teaching about God's mercy towards sinners. But Jesus, who was bent down writing on the ground with his finger, remained unperturbed and finally straightened up and said, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." When they heard this, the accusers went away one by one, beginning with the elders. Jesus then turned to the woman and said, "Where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she replied. "Neither do I condemn you," said Jesus. "Go, and from now on, do not sin any more. Let the one among you who is without sin throw the first stone at her." With these words, Jesus certainly does not wish to appear permissive with regard to wrongdoing, such as adultery. His words, "Go, and from now on, do not sin any more," clearly expresses God's commandment. Instead, Jesus wishes to unmask the hypocrisy of those who set themselves up as judges over their fellow human beings who have sinned, without recognizing that they themselves are sinners. His words here underline the well-known commandment, "Stop judging, that you may not be judged. For as you judge, so will you be judged." Speaking in this way, Jesus also addresses himself to those who, in the name of the law, ignore the person involved and do not take into account the repentance that sinners may feel in their hearts. This clearly shows what Jesus' attitude is toward one who does wrong. He is merciful. As St. Augustine put it, when the accusers of the adulteress had gone away, two persons remained, one in need of mercy, and the other mercy itself. Let the one among you who is without sin be the one to throw a stone at her. How can we put this Word of Life into practice? In all our dealings with others, let us remember that we too are sinners. All of us have sinned. Even if we think that we ourselves have not fallen into serious sin, we must bear in mind that we do not know just how strongly circumstances have influenced others, causing them to fall and to stray far from God. We do not know how we would have acted had we been in their place. In any case, we too have broken the bonds of love that was meant to unite us to God, so we too have been unfaithful to Him. If Jesus, who was certainly without sin, did not throw the first stone at the adulteress, neither can we condemn others. We should have compassion toward everyone, resisting those impulses that drive us to condemn others without mercy. We must learn how to forgive and forget. We should not harbor traces of judgment or resentment in our hearts, since these can easily give rise to anger and hatred that alienate us from others. We should see every person as new in every moment. If our hearts are filled with love and compassion toward all, rather than judgment and condemnation, we will help others to begin new lives, to find the courage to start anew. Written by Kiara Lubick.
You know, what a wonderful word of life for Lent for us to think about.
Yes, it certainly is a serious part of our life and a serious part of Lent.
Yes, it is. When I read it the first time, I couldn't help but think of that term that we used to say years ago, is that the pot calling the kettle black, throwing stones at glass houses.
Right, which, all those things, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and this is part of what the ancient philosophers used to say, that an unexamined life is not worth living. And many times when we do judge or harbor resentments and point fingers, it's because we haven't examined ourselves. We don't know ourselves. And I liked what it said here, because this oftentimes is the case with myself, is we don't know where this person's come from, that we don't know the temptations that were there. We don't know the person. We don't know the circumstances. And of course, we need to have an objective law, an objective moral code, which guides us. At the same time, we need to look at the person, that this is the ideal that we should all work toward in a moral code. But we need to be, it's mercy that will lead us there to that. And we need to find that the strength to be merciful. There were two things that I liked in here. When she says that, I think it was St. Augustine, who actually says that in the end, as everybody else left, there were two people there. Mm-hmm. One was the person who needed mercy, and the other was mercy itself.
Right.
In Jesus.
Isn't that beautiful?
It reminds us, of course, if we could have that image of the sacrament of reconciliation. Mm-hmm. The person who needs mercy coming to mercy itself in the sacrament. And this is, of course, the meaning of our sacraments is the presence of Christ today as he went through life and through his ministry forgiving people for their sins. The sacrament is there in the person of Christ, embodied in the priest. You need somebody there to say the words, to speak, to listen. It's a human part of it too. But it's mercy that we are encountering, you know, not the person or of a priest, his personality, but it's Christ that we want to encounter in all of our sacraments.
And also, we've talked about this before, and the priest is bound by canon law. It is confidential. Whatever we say in that confessional is confidential.
Right. Yeah, and that's, we certainly need to know that. I think, you know, we don't want to approach that sacrament with any kind of fear.
Exactly.
With that. But, I mean, that certainly is the foundation of the priest's role in that. But I think above that, beyond that, is also the fact that it is mercy that, mm-hmm. that we are working toward. The other thing that I think is very beautiful, the way she puts it, and I find this in so many things that we do, and it comes from that sense of self-justification, that when I feel that I am above everyone else or that I'm better than everyone else, and this goes back to the gospel reading for the Sunday, you know, is it because of they were more sinful that this happened? But whenever there is judgment, whenever there is condemnation of another, we've already broken the law. Mm-hmm. Because we've judged, because we have not shown mercy, because we have not loved. So we're as guilty as the next person in the condemning, in the very act of condemning others. We've already broken the law, the moral code, because it all sums up in love of neighbor and love of God. And so where this person may have committed a sinful act, and we know that, we see that, it's obvious, and of course then that person can rely on God's mercy and confess. But the very fact that I have judged or I have remained resentful or toward a person, I'm breaking the law right there. You know, sometimes if we, but oftentimes we try to justify our action of condemning, of judging, of speaking bad about someone because they have done bad. Right there, we're as guilty as the next person. And so this is the journey of faith, and this is the journey of Lent into the desert to stop and listen. And in Jesus, in this passage of meeting the adulterous woman, is a beautiful example of calling her to conversion. He didn't want to leave her where she was. He called her to more, but he did it through mercy. He did it through reaching out to her. He did it through wisdom. And all of that's because he was the Son of God and was here to do the will of the Father, not his own. And so that's our journey too, to come to that point where we can assist others to a conversion of life and not condemn them away from it.
Beautiful message. Bishop, if you could end our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Let us pray. O God, author of every mercy and of all goodness, who in fasting, prayer, and almsgiving have shown us a remedy for sin, look graciously on this confession of our lowliness, that we who are bowed down by our conscience may always be lifted up by your mercy. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.